A person's disability can range from difficult to detect, like attention deficit disorder, to the more apparent, like loss of a limb or blindness. Now employers have a go-to guide to answer all of their questions on hiring and equipping those with disabilities. A product of the Curb Cuts to the Middle Class initiative, the Plain Language Guide brings together a host of resources from across the government. Sharon Massling is Chief of Staff to Equal Employment Opportunity Commissioner Chai Feldblum, who has been a leader in the Curb Cuts initiative. Ms. Massling joins me now. Good morning. Thank you for being on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about this guide. What is in it and what does it do for employers that they can't get now from the government websites?
Sure. So the guide is really designed for anyone who wants to recruit, hire, retain, or promote people with disabilities. That can be an HR professional, it could be a hiring manager, a diversity officer, all the way up to the CEO level. It was originally designed for private employers, especially federal contractors who have new obligations under Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act. But most of the information is equally applicable to federal employers. It's a web-based document, so it is posted on the White House website and posted on our EEOC.gov website. It's a question and answer format, so it addresses common concerns employers have. And then it provides links to lots of more detailed information. So a lot of the information has already been out there, but an employer would have to look at 10 different websites to find what they needed. And now it's just all in one easy-to-find place.
And I guess we can safely assume that this site is 508 compliant?
It is indeed.
All right. And so you mentioned some of the most common concerns that people looking to hire those with disabilities have. What are those concerns? What do you find people most worry about?
You know, the first question we have often is, where do I find a person with a disability? You know, we want to hire people with disabilities, but we don't know where to find them. Where can I find the talent? Where's the pipeline? So the first section of the guide is really focused on recruiting candidates with disabilities. It provides tips on how to conduct targeted outreach. It provides suggestions on where to post your job announcements and how to ensure that they're accessible. It provides specific tips for recruiting young people with disabilities or recruiting veterans, tips on interviewing, et cetera. But that's just getting the person in the door. So the second section of the guide is really focused on respecting, retaining, and promoting people with disabilities. It provides lots of retention strategies. As employers know, it's really critical to avoid turnover. So it talks about onboarding and orientation programs that employers can design, or career development, or mentoring. It talks about disability awareness and etiquette training. A lot of times people are just scared of saying the wrong thing. So the guide provides lots of resources on disability etiquette and, you know, what to say, what not to say.
So this would be training or information that you would need to give to the existing employees before onboarding someone with a disability.
Right. And again, you know, it's more of just background information if employees have questions or if the hiring manager has a question. One of the biggest questions we get all the time is, you know, what's this with reasonable accommodations? What do I need to provide to a person with a disability? So there's a whole section just about that. So, you know, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, an employer would have to provide an accommodation that would enable an employee to do the job. It may be a change in the work environment, a change in the way things are customarily done. And that can be anything from, you know, allowing a person with diabetes to have food at her desk, allowing a person with cancer to have a flexible work schedule so she could go to doctor's appointments, and maybe providing a screen reader for someone who's blind or a person who's deaf may need a sign language interpreter. And the section provides lots of resources for employers. So it tells you, you know, who can you call if you have a question about accommodations, or what are some common requests that people with particular disabilities have, or what are some common accommodations that are helpful in a particular industry? So it just answers a lot of the really, you know, nuts and bolts questions that people may have.
We're speaking with Sharon Massling. She's a chief of staff at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And a moment ago, you mentioned Section 503 of the Disabilities Act requires certain things of federal contractors. Can you briefly review what those are for us?
Sure. It's actually Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act.
Thank you. Yes, correct.
No problem. The Rehabilitation Act was enacted in 1973. It applied to federal contractors and to federal agencies themselves. The Americans with Disabilities Act was enacted in 1990, and then that applied to all private employers. But the ADA only prohibits discrimination. As compared to the Rehabilitation Act, both Section 503 for federal contractors and Section 501 for federal agencies, which actually requires contractors and federal agencies to engage in affirmative action for people with disabilities. So what affirmative steps can federal contractors take to really hire people with disabilities and then make sure that they are retained and promoted? So the Federal Rehab Act actually, the 503 regulations actually have what is called a utilization goal, where they're encouraging, you know, employers to have at least 7% of their workforce be people with disabilities. And it has lots of other requirements on how to really engage your workforce and to really make an effort to hire people with disabilities.
And what is the EEOC sense of how well federal contractors get to that 7% level?
I think it's a work in progress. The regulations just came out, I believe, last year. But I think there's a lot of new exciting energy, and employers are really wanting to make a difference and are really taking this to heart and really are trying to, you know, improve their efforts, both in terms of hiring and then in terms of retention and promotion, because we don't want people with disabilities just to get entry-level, low-level jobs and then just stay there. The idea is to really integrate them in the workforce, make sure they're promoted, make sure they have high-quality jobs.
And, of course, when you think of disabilities, we often think of veterans nowadays that might come back from one of the overseas wars and maybe be lacking a limb, or, as you mentioned, people are have a hearing impairment or a visual impairment. But when you have a 7% goal, how do you make sure that employers don't stretch the limits of what is called a disability to meet the goal, where it gets to the point where, you know, someone has a hangnail and they are reported as having a disability?
Right. Well, that's, I mean, I think the goal is there, but I think the focus is more just on really making the affirmative efforts to hire people with disabilities, you know, across the board. Some people may need the affirmative efforts when it comes to hiring. A lot of people need to make sure that they have the reasonable accommodations. But that's really, you know, the whole purpose of the Curb Cuts to the Middle Class initiative, the initiative that the EEOC has been very involved in, is really bringing all the federal agencies together to really focus on how can we move the employment rate for people with disabilities, particularly, as you said, people with significant disabilities.
And is there room in all of this for people that might not be physically impaired or intellectually impaired, but might be in some manner, I don't know, emotionally impaired? Is that part of this disability complex? And is there a way for employers to handle people like that?
Of course. You know, the range of disabilities is very, very broad. So you have physical disabilities, or what we sometimes will call manifest disabilities, you know, someone who you see walking down the street and you know either the person is using a wheelchair or he or she's blind or is missing a limb. But then there are lots and lots of hidden disabilities. And so you have some folks with cognitive disabilities. You have lots of people with psychiatric illnesses, people with autism, people with chronic health conditions. So, you know, lots of people are walking around with cancer, but you can't tell just by looking at them. And certainly the effort to hire people with disabilities, to hire people all across the spectrum.
And can you point to any particularly good practices that an agency might do, a federal agency, to make sure that they are on board with recruiting people with disabilities?
Sure. So, you know, first thing I would recommend is you pull up our resource guide. And then I think it's really sitting down and making a real, you know, figuring out what is your disability hiring plan? What is your effort? What steps are you going to take in terms of conducting outreach? And where are you going, you know, are your job postings accessible? Can a person with a vision impairment actually access them on the computer? If you have an online assessment system, you know, pre-employment questions, can a person with a disability answer those? But then a lot is just, you know, really talking to people and thinking in a very targeted fashion about, okay, what steps do we need to take? You know, there are a lot of resources out there, and it's really just thinking about what do I want to do? How, as an employer, do I want to make an effort to bring more people with disabilities into my workforce?
Because looking at some of your materials, it looks like the Social Security Administration has a lot of good programs it does for people with disabilities.
Absolutely. You know, the Social Security Administration runs a program called Ticket to Work. So there are a lot of people who are on Social Security disability who want to work. And so the whole Ticket to Work program is how do people who are now on Social Security disability, how do they get back into the workforce? Social Security Administration runs what are called employer networks, which are service providers who are out there, you know, who want to help train and help place people with disabilities. There's a 1-800 number. But again, you know, the whole focus of curb cuts is that there are so many agencies right now who are working on one piece of the employment issues. So you have the Department of Education and Vocation, who oversees a whole vocational rehabilitation program, which is in every state. You have the Department of Labor, which is has a whole office on disability employment policy. You mentioned veterans before, so the Veterans Administration is doing a ton of work on this issue. The Office of Personnel Management for federal agencies is doing a ton of work on how can we in the federal agencies be hiring more people with disabilities. And it's really focusing on if everyone who right now is working in our own little silo, by coming together and coordinating and leveraging our efforts, we can make hopefully make a real dent.
Sharon Massling is the chief of staff to the EEOC Commissioner Hai Feldblum. And by the way, is all of this guide available at EEOC.gov?
It is indeed. Yes, if you go straight to our homepage, you will see it there. It's on our disability page. You know, you can just Google Employer Resource Guide for People with Disabilities. It'll pop up that way. So it's out there.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.